While music is often described as a universal language, some would argue that it's best understood as a local dialogue. Whether it's the venue, the audiences, or the artists themselves, local music has always needed these pillars to survive. And at a time when that survival is most uncertain, there is an app dedicated to rebuilding and reviving these very pillars. Today, we talk to one of its creators. Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson. And just like every week, we have an incredibly special guest who comes equipped with an incredibly special conversation. Today, I have joining with me Chris Skeen, the founder of Music Local. Chris, I appreciate you coming out.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So let me kind of contextualize this for people who are listening. I think what you guys are doing is so incredibly healthy and needed in the current climate of things. It is something that is putting art and culture on not only a pedestal, but you guys are exposing culture. And for people that might not be familiar with Music Local, and we'll talk more about it throughout the interview, it is an app that lists different acts that are going to be performing wherever they're performing around town and where that venue's listed and what time it'll be and what day it will be. So talk to me a little bit about not only Music Local, but how you started and what gave you the idea and the impetus for it.
Sure. Well, like you said, Music Local is an app. It's also a website for people who don't want to download the app that lists the live music events going on around town. And it's interesting how it started. I have a co-founder, Kathy Rogers, who for many years after the local paper stopped doing their comprehensive listings of live music events, had been putting together a weekly post on Facebook listing everything that was happening on weekends. And that was getting posted to Facebook. And it was very helpful to the people who were very embedded in the town and were friends with her on Facebook and everything, but it wasn't so accessible to people who were new to town, people who did not know Kathy personally, were not friends with her, and that sort of thing. And so about 2 years ago, I got together with Kathy and we decided to put this information out into the public sphere in ways that were very accessible to people. And I have a software engineering background. And so I said, you know, we can get this up on the web on a fast performant website that hits, you know, the top of the Google search results, which we do. And we can also put together a really nice app so people have all this information at their fingertips. And my goal from an engineering perspective was to put this information in front of people in a way that was on par with a service like Netflix or Facebook that has very fast technology, very responsive. It's sort of always there. Because a lot of the technology and services that people use today are very algorithm focused. They're very focused on that particular individual. And it can be very hard. It's actually caused fragmentation in the music scene because if you don't follow bands, if you don't actively seek them out on social media, you might be seeing information about acts across the country or something else entirely. So we wanted to create a curated list of the events and put it out into the public, and that's how it got started.
Let me ask you a question about that curatorial process. Mm-hmm. How do you farm the information? How do you find out about the acts? How do you find out about the venues? How do you find out about the times? Is it the artist coming to you? Are you going to the artist, or a bit of both?
That's a great question. And one of our principles is stewardship, not algorithms. So we feel it's very important, particularly in this day and age, to provide a human touch and human curation of the information that we are providing to people and not just rely on an algorithm to sort of surface information depending on people's interests. Mm-hmm. So we actually go out, we find events from all different sources. We find them on social media. We find some events on Instagram, others on Facebook. One thing that we've noticed is that younger people will list their events on Instagram and not on Facebook, and older people will do the exact opposite. And so that creates fragmentation in and of itself across groups. We also go to venue websites, and people will submit events to us. So we find them from a variety of sources and try to create as comprehensive a list as possible for events happening in the Tallahassee area.
You know, a lot of what you've talked about, in for good reason, is very technical. Mm-hmm. Let's bring it down to a social level and talk about the type of community that you guys have been able to build and are continuing to build with this platform. You use words like comprehensive and fragmentation, all things that could be facets of deleterious or good parts of community. Talk to me a little bit about how you've seen this become a player in building community.
Sure. That brings us actually to a second point of principle that we follow, which is community, not isolation. So in contrast to social media feeds, which are built around an individual's consumption of whatever they're doing on social media, we try to reflect the community as a whole for everybody. And we have found great success in doing that. People love the service because it really does provide a comprehensive overview of the music community here locally, where everyone is included and it's not dependent on your reach on social media or your skill at achieving likes or shares or comments. So that has been both a success locally, and it's also one of our strengths, and one of the things that we provide is creating that, reinforcing that sense of community and providing the information about the entire community to everyone.
I love that. Making things that can sometimes be exclusive, not so exclusive, and not exclusive because anybody's trying to bar people from having access, but because sometimes the information just isn't as readily accessible. And so in some ways, you guys kind of act as a clearinghouse of information for art and culture. And I think that that's really splendid work. Let me ask you this. You know, people say that music is a universal language. And if that's the case, which I believe it is, then live music is kind of like this intimate conversation between three old friends. One of them's the venue, one of them's the artist, and one of them's the audience. We've kind of talked about the audience and the people that will be coming to the event. We've touched a bit on the artist and how they get the information there. Let's talk about something that is very important to me, and it is the decline of venue spaces across the globe, but especially our nation and state writ large. And so talk to me a little bit about how this is also given a little bolt of energy to venues and people that hold space for art and culture.
Oh, yeah. This is an incredibly important service for venues, and we've received very great feedback and responses from venues across the area. And they actually go out of their way to promote our services now, which is fantastic. And we think it's a win-win for everyone. One of the things that I've observed, not only as the creator of Music Local, but as a musician myself, is that as the media landscape changed from curated newspapers to fragmented social media, the actual physical scene began to fragment as well. It became harder for venues to get out information about their events to other people because they had to combat the algorithm, which is explicitly trying to make businesses pay for ads, which is very hard for a lot of local music venues to do. And what we have done basically is by presenting this information in a clear and easy way and making it accessible to everyone, no login, no paywall, it's just there for people. We've provided, I hope, a tremendous boost to venues by solving a problem that has been sort of created by social media and has been becoming worse over time, which is that the connections that people used to have, that musician to venue to audience connection, started getting fragmented as curated media sources went away. And we are trying to be the glue that pulls those three groups together and allows them to exchange information easily, provides one place for them to go to look at so that people can make a very easy decision. It's no longer, it's Friday, let me go look around Facebook or Instagram and hopefully I see something, or check out five different venue web pages to see what's going on. Listeners get to see that information immediately. Venues get to see who's playing around town, so it helps them book. Musicians get to see where people are playing and what's going on. So by providing that sort of social lubricant in a way, we hope to have outsized impact not only on the community but on the local economics of music as well, which we think is super important for a host of reasons, ranging from the difficulties of social media to the monopolies that we see, Ticketmaster, Spotify, where payments to musicians and venues are becoming more and more difficult and less substantial.
You know, I have a follow-up question about that. But before I do, I want to continue on this last point and just say that when I perused the website, you know, in preparation for this interview, one of the things that I was so pleased to see as I scrolled down, I think when I went on, you guys had like 300 listings up there. And as I was scrolling through, I saw so many venues. Now, a lot of them I know, well, all of them that I know, but some of them you don't always think of as a venue. And mm-hmm. it showed the versatility of space, too, that there may be a restaurant that's having live music. And for that night, they are a live music venue, and you can enjoy them just like you can enjoy a standard venue that you go to thinking that that's the experience you're going to get. And so even on the surface level of just perusing, I was seeing so many cool things. And I think that that really is a charm of what you guys are doing. One of the things that we see is that people say there's nothing to do here. This app combats that just as good as anything I've seen. You brought up in your point social media, and I don't want to sandbag your question, but if I'm hearing right, you have some direct problems with the way social media gets information out. Am I right by saying that?
Well, I wouldn't say they're personal problems. I think they're problems that everyone talks about almost constantly, both in formal media and informally in conversations, both online. And you see even people who are very involved in building big tech talk about these things. I think it's sort of a pervasive problem that people have identified and understood. Social media can be isolating. It's designed to be addictive. It's designed to monetize people's attention by attracting their eyeballs and selling their data. And those things, while they have resulted in some great things, I'm not trying to totally dismiss, you know, social media. I spend time on there and it's very helpful. It's also resulted in problems that are not confined to the music space. Venues are a great place for people to meet up and talk in person, which I think is a very healthy thing for society and democracy in general. You get, you know, people of all type, you know, you mentioned music being a universal language. You get people of all backgrounds, all political affiliations going out to music events. And when they stop doing that and stop talking to each other in person, the conversation changes and I think goes to a darker place. And I think that's something that's not a unique insight that I'm, you know, coming up with. That's something that people talk about a lot. And one of the things that I'm trying to do with Music Local and I think is valuable is that we are not trying to monetize attention. We are not trying to trick people into scrolling more. We're not trying to throw ads in people's faces based on their behavior across the entire web and their, you know, personal characteristics that are being data mined. We're just trying to give people information that can be useful ultimately to go out and see other people.
Sure.
And that works on both the musician level, the venue level, and the community member level. So I think of one thing that we're trying to do is be a little bit of a healing influence on local communities by getting people into the same rooms again and talking to each other again.
I'm glad that you said that, because in your answer you said that it's not a unique perspective, but I hope that you give yourself credit in understanding that it is a unique way that you're combating, even if it's not directly, an issue that is really becoming one of our nation's biggest issues. I had Roy Wood on the show some months back, and he said it in a joke way, because obviously he's a magnanimous comedian, but he says sometimes the waitress or the cashier at the supermarket or the waitress at the restaurant is the only human interaction some people will have. And because of that, we've seen a culture or a subculture, I should say, that is kind of turning into words that we all hear, like lone wolf and incel, or, you know, the buzzwords that are thrown about. The third spaces have always been maybe the most important spaces, because it's not just where people build community, it's where they build identity. And I think that what you guys are doing is really planting the seeds that will sprout both of those things. And so I commend you on being a purveyor of the third space. Let me talk to you about something directly, something that we haven't talked about yet that I think is the most important part of the conversation. You, as a musician yourself, are on a mission to revive, pardon the pun, because the name of your band is Revival, to revive certain things. What does music mean to you outside of the tech and outside of the screens and outside of the booking? What is music to you?
For me personally, sure, music is a healing force. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that most, if not all, humans connect with on a very deep level. And for me, it's something that brings me back away from the isolation and to the human and to connection with people. I think for me, music was a stabilizing force during the pandemic when we were all isolated. And it was a stabilizing force personally. And not only that, but the isolation during the COVID period gave me renewed appreciation for the experience of live music in a room with other people and how nourishing and fulfilling that is. So I think that this, you know, for me, Music Local is helping bring people together in spaces, but I think our focus on music too, music is something that has broken down barriers in society of all kinds over time. I mean, music has broken down racial barriers. It's broken down gender barriers. It's just done so much for the world. And I think it does so much for societies, communities, and people. And so tackling these greater societal problems of isolation, of addiction to social media, of polarization, music to me is a very natural place to begin that battle, because it is inherently something that I think brings people together and heals.
Well, in closing, I will say to you that I don't think that there is anybody better at the helm of an issue like this than somebody who is themselves a local musician. Further than that, your band being Revival, it's serendipitous that in some ways you were helping with the revival of our local art scene, our local culture scene, and our local music scene. I appreciate you so much for being here, and I appreciate you all at home for joining for another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.